The sperm count of men in Western countries has been declining, according to new research, bolstering a school of thought that male health in the modern world is at risk, possibly threatening fertility for many couples. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Hagai Levine on this episode of Hadassah On Call.
This is Hadassah On Call, New Frontiers in Medicine. In each episode, we go behind the headlines with the Hadassah Medical Organization and look at the work changing what's possible, helping you understand the medical breakthroughs impacting our lives. From neurological malfunction to sexual dysfunction, from striving for peace through medicine to operating room robots, this is Hadassah On Call. Here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome to the show. My guest today is Dr. Hagai Levine. He's the head of the Environmental Health Track at the Hadassah Hebrew University Braun School of Public Health and Community Medicine in Jerusalem, Israel. Welcome to the show, Dr. Levine. When did sperm count start being investigated as a factor in male infertility?
Actually, this method, counting sperm, was first described in 1902, and the method did not change much since, because it's very simple and validated method. You put sperm on a slide and count under a microscope the number of sperm. Very simple, very accurate, and a very good marker of male fertility.
I mentioned in my intro that research is showing that we're seeing a decline in Western countries. So what are you seeing as a difference now, and what do you think and what have you found as the reason for this decline?
So here we have a very good measure. The measurement system did not change. So we can really see whether or not there was a change over time. Now, there were previous reports 25 years ago by Carlson et al. That claimed that there was a decline in sperm count in the world since the 30s. However, this report was accepted with a lot of criticism and actually was not accepted by the entire medical and scientific community. So we conducted the most comprehensive and using state of the art statistics to model and study the trend over time of sperm count around the world. We did a systematic literature review, including more than 7,500 studies that we screened. And what we found is a clear and steep decline of over 50% in two measures, both the total sperm count and the sperm concentration of Western men unselected by their fertility status from 1973 to 2011. Can you imagine any other biological measure that declined by more than 50% in 40 years?
It's really amazing. And so why are Western countries seeing this decline? Is it environmental and lifestyle influences? What is it?
So first of all, we looked for information for non-Western countries, and simply there is not enough data because you need a lab and a researcher to collect and conduct such studies, and we did not have enough studies from non-Western countries to conclude the trend. Actually, recent studies from East Asia did find a decline there as well. So I cannot say much about non-Western countries. In Western countries, although we did not study the causes, we see a clear decline. We should remember that when we look for the causes, we will elaborate hereafter, when we look at the causes, we should also think about 20, 30 years before the men were studied, when they were born, because actually we know that the prenatal period is a critical period for the development of the male reproductive system. So if something is disrupting this development, and indeed, the modern lifestyle and environment disrupt the development of the male reproductive system, we should look for the change over time 20, 30 years before 1973. So from the 40s, from the 50s. Now we all know that exposure of humans to man-made chemicals, among other factors, have changed dramatically over this time. And men are exposed now to chemicals in an extent and variability that they have not been exposed ever before in evolution.
So what important public health implications do these findings have? And let's speak about some of those influences that are more of a factor now.
So before speaking about the causes, I will speak about three implications. First and above all, as you said, we have a clear public health problem of male subfertility and infertility. We know in Israel and the United States and in many other countries, a huge proportion of couples are unable to conceive naturally. And many more takes a long time than they want to get pregnant. So we have a fertility problem, and we should understand and understand that the solution, a long-term solution, could not be only technological solution, because there is something causing it. So this brings us to the other public health implication, that there is something wrong with our environment in a broad sense that caused this decline. It could not be genetic. So this is the canary in the coal mine to put a signal for us that we need to change something with the way that we are living around the world. And the third implication is that new studies are showing that sperm count is a predictor and a marker of men's general health. And men with lower sperm count are more likely to die, to be hospitalized, and to suffer from diseases. So if we see this decline in sperm count, it most probably indicates a decline in the health of men in Western countries. So we have three implications: the fertility problem, the causes that we must address, and the health problem of men around the world.
That's fascinating. So what would you like men to know about these environmental and lifestyle influences? And are we even looking at things like cell phones and alcohol and sedentary lifestyle? So speak about some of these influences and how they might change a man's mind about those lifestyles.
So first, we should separate the suspected causes into two. Causes that may affect in the prenatal life and causes that may affect in the adult life. Some of them are the same, but not necessarily. I would focus, first of all, in research and in prevention on the causes in prenatal life. This is probably the more important factor. For example, studies have shown that smoking of the mother during pregnancy is a worse risk factor for lower sperm count than smoking of the man himself when he is adult. So smoking of the mother is worse than smoking of the man himself later on. So this is an example how disruption in early life, this is probably the most critical. However, our listeners want to know what they can do besides their mother. So in adult life, we know that exposure to pesticides and specific toxic chemicals harm the production, the spermatogenesis, and men produce sperm every day by millions. So exposure now can affect your sperm for the next 3 months. So you can change your exposure now. So if you are exposed occupationally or by other ways to pesticides or other chemicals that are known to be toxic to sperm, such as drugs, medical drugs and drug use, you should avoid them. Smoking, of course, lack of physical activity, even TV viewing was linked to lower sperm count. And obesity, so keeping a normal weight and a good diet can improve your sperm count. Now, for the cell phone, this is not proven. We know that hitting your testicles is not good for them. And we know that cell phones and mobile computers are hitting your testicles if you put them directly next to your testicles. So you should definitely avoid that. We don't know yet about the possible impact of non-ionizing radiation. So I would focus on what we know for sure you can do for your little one. Of course, the other side is that we need to protect the babies, the fetuses now, to prevent from exposure to phthalate or other chemicals or even stress or smoking of the mother that we know that disrupt the development of the male reproductive system.
Dr. Levine, so along those lines, if 30 years ago women didn't realize that smoking during pregnancy was so detrimental, and you're seeing this decline now that there's more of an awareness of smoking during pregnancy, do you think, in your opinion, that in another 20 years, you might see this trend head back up because women are not smoking as much during pregnancy, or do you think they are?
I think that we must use surveillance methods like we do for cancer and for infectious diseases, as a public health physician, and I used to be chief epidemiologist for the Israel Defense Forces, so I did a lot of surveillance and surveillance studies. We need also to follow reproductive health trends continuously, including semen quality indicators, for example. And we don't do it at all at the moment. So we will not be able to answer this question unless we start following it now. Now, I'm very worried, because we know that there are epigenetic changes. The effect, determinational effect, for example, of smoking in your pregnancy, do not only affect the fetus, but also affect the grandson, and maybe also the grand-grandson. So we already see an effect in the control of the genes, in the epigenome level, that is changing. And this may be the reason why the effect may be cumulative. If you are exposed to toxins in smoking or to chemicals such as phthalates, and it affects the developing fetus, it also affects his son and his grandson, etc. And we may see, even if we stop now the exposure, we may not see an improvement. So it's a very serious issue of the question of the extinction of the human species. Okay, so we don't know what will happen, but we can't necessarily be sure that we can reverse the damage. We can stop the continuous of the damage, but not necessarily reverse. So we must understand this is a clear and present emergence to humans, the possibility that we will become less and less fertile and will not be able to reverse.
So do you think this is a wake-up call for health professionals and for men with a goal in reversing this change? And if it is a wake-up call, what is the take-home message for men, their partners, and health professionals? What would you like to see happen immediately and in the future?
Okay, so immediately, at the personal level, like we understand that a woman is planning her pregnancy, and we say, you know, the doctors that pregnancy is a 12-month period because there's 3 months of preparation, and even before. So women are trying to keep better health before they're trying to conceive. We should do exactly the same for men. We should take this opportunity that a man wants to bring life to improve his own health. And you can, you know, do more physical, the same recommendation for general health, like physical activity, keeping normal weight, keeping a healthy and balanced diet, avoiding smoking and drug use, etc., are good for your sperm, for your fertility, for your future kids, and for your own health. So that's one thing, what you can do now, and we should restructure the medical system to focus not only on treatment, but also prevention. I know for sure that in many clinics, the same that I visited when I was in Mount Sinai, New York, and in Israel and in other countries, there is much focus on the female side and on technological solution and not on health promotion. So we should think differently and put much more focus and attention to male fertility. So this is one side of it. And study, of course, much more male fertility in animals and in humans and what are the causes. Now, we already know some of the causes. So this is a wake-up call to address the causes. Now, currently, we are doing a mass experiment on mankind by exposing mankind to many, many chemicals that for many of them, we know that have serious effect on our health and the health of future generations. We must change this frame of thought and put our health before other considerations, other, for example, economical considerations. So the need for proof should be on the producer of this chemical and not on the consumer. So we must, like Europe is starting to do, we must regulate, much better regulate chemicals. And that's something that I hope that studies like our own study will help changing this way of thinking, because I'm really worried. You know, what this beginning of a much larger problem later on.
And where do you see research going from here? What's your next move in this case?
So I'm studying specific possible causes of poor sperm count. For example, in Israel, there is much exposure to pesticides. We are conducting a study on the effects of pesticides on semen quality in Israeli men, and my colleagues are doing other studies around the world, but there is really not much funding this area. You know that, like, women were neglected or females were neglected in medical research for many years, the issue of male fertility is reproduction is considered a female issue, and this field is neglected in research. So there is, you know, there is maternal and child health funds and you know, clinics, but not for paternal. So I think we should study much more paternal effects. We should study much more the impact of prenatal exposure, including exposure to environment in the broad sense, and effect on health later on in life for both males and females. And we should integrate fertility and semen studies within current ongoing studies as an important outcome. You can take a core study that is conducted and then add an evaluation of the semen. And actually, this is a great source of learning because it's so susceptible to the environment. So it's not only important by itself, it's a good model to study the effect of the environment on our own health. It's complex. We should first start with the research agenda. Currently, there is no research agenda in the field at all. So once we, you know, sit researchers and governments from all around the world, we can set the agenda for research.
It's such great information, Dr. Levine. So just summarize it, restate this research study about the declining sperm count in Western countries and really what you want men and other health professionals to know about this and things that they can do right now.
One of the most important things is life. The definition of life itself is the ability to reproduce. We men reach to a state that cannot reproduce naturally. This is a wake-up call for each and every one of us, and of course to the decision makers, to identify male infertility as a major public health problem, to act on the personal level, to study and, you know, examine your fertility and what you can do to improve it, and to change in the global level and the country level to take action to reverse this decline by better regulation of chemicals, by health promotion activities, and by research, a lot of research into the causes of this decline.
Thank you so much, Dr. Levine, for being on with us today. This is Hadassah On Call, New Frontiers in Medicine, brought to you by Hadassah, the Women's Zionist Organization of America. The largest Jewish women's organization in America, Hadassah enhances the health of people worldwide through medical education, care, and research innovations at the Hadassah Medical Organization. For more information on the latest advances in medicine, please visit Hadassah.org. And to hear more episodes in this podcast series, please visit Hadassah.org/podcasts. That's Hadassah.org/podcasts. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.